Today we are concluding a three-part series called God's Treasure Hunt. We'll do a very quick review. I'm assuming that most of you were here for the last 2 weeks. For those of you who weren't, this will be a very quick overview for those. Hides things. He is a God who hides. We looked at Proverbs 25:2 that says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And so we talked about that God hides not so that we will not find it, not so that we'll not find his treasure or his truth, but he hides things on purpose to weed out true seekers from false seekers. And the truth is hidden, secrets are hidden, treasure is hidden, so that we will in fact dig and find them. Because the last part of that verse says, it is the glory of man or the glory of kings to search it out. And so last week we talked then about the seeking and how God wants us to seek him. And the three major clues that he's given us are, first of all, number one, respond to the Savior, for in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God. We talked about receiving the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who opens up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to see, to hear, to comprehend and understand. And then we talked about researching the Scriptures, for it is in the Scriptures that God has unfolded his secret treasure. So that we talked about the hiding and the seeking. This morning we're going to talk about the finding. What happens when you realize, okay, God, you've hidden secrets, you've hidden treasure, you've hidden truth. I want to be a seeker. I'm responding to the Savior. I'm trusting him as mine. I'm receiving your Holy Spirit. And I'm willing to commit myself to researching the Scriptures. Then what happens? What do you discover? What do you find? Go with me to Psalm 19. And we're going to look at that this morning. There's no way one message can overview and summarize it all. But this morning we're going to try and get a few insights in terms of what we will find when we seek the Lord. Our scripture passage has been put to music, and I'm going to make this strange attempt at singing it for you. Somebody once said that singers should never preach and preachers should never sing, but I'm going to break the rule, and if you know it, please sing it with me, okay? That will help me a lot.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Father, we ask that as we look into your law, your precepts, your principles, your truth, your commandments, as we look into these things, Lord, we ask that you will help us see this morning what is there. And help us to seek so that we can find. Help us to knock so it can be opened unto us. Help us to ask so that we can receive. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. We've talked about this being a treasure hunt. And I referred the first message 2 weeks ago about having this dream as a kid of being discovering pirate treasure hidden under a tree. And you can imagine unearthing it and opening this chest. And you look in and what do you find? Well, it's impossible to describe to you this morning or in any week or two. That's the wonderful privilege I have as a pastor, is to week by week by week take you into the treasure chest and share with you some of what God has put there. And I've been teaching and sharing from the Word now for almost 15 years, and I still feel like I'm just on the first layer of the treasure. There's so much in there. So there's no way that in this one quick message we're going to uncover everything. But I would like you to realize that according to this passage, there are at least 10 items that you will discover in God's treasure chest. And so go with me and let's look at them quickly. And I hope you don't mind the alliteration on your sermon note sheet. It may help you to remember some of these things. The first thing you find is a cure for depression. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Anybody ever get depressed? Anybody ever find your spirit in a tailspin going down? Whatever the circumstances, whatever the chemical metabolism in your body or the lack thereof, whatever is producing it, friends, the Scripture says that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving, revival, two Latin words meaning to live again. It brings life back to the whole person. That's what the law of the Lord does. How does he do it? I'm not sure. You would think a shot of medicine or something else would help, or a good experience. God says, my law is what brings life to your person. It revives the soul. As a pastor, I've obviously had time to counsel many people who've been depressed at various stages and for various reasons. And I have found this principle, this truth, to be the best prescription I can give anybody who is down. You remember King David said in the Psalms, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. And as you read the psalm, you discover that he does experience discouragement. He does have tough things in life. He does go down the tubes emotionally. Yet when he looks beyond those and puts his hope in God and gets into his word and discovers his law, God has a way supernaturally of lifting the spirit and reviving the soul. And so the first thing you see in the word of God is a cure for depression. The second thing you see is a claim for discernment. Ever need some insight, some wisdom for the marriage, for raising the kids, for whatever? Take a look at the second half of verse 7. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Now, most of us are trying to get information for the various aspects of our lives. The problem is we are getting untrustworthy information. There was a whole generation in North America that was raised on the teachings of Dr. Spock. He wrote books and parents, a whole generation of parents, raised their kids by the principles and teachings of Dr. Spock. Well, did you know that Dr. Spock, after raising a generation in North America, admitted that a lot of what he said in his book was wrong? And that after he examined it and after he saw the result of his work in the generation that he messed up, he said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Spock. You've messed up a generation. We bet on a losing horse, so to speak. We've searched the world for information, for truth, for advice, for counsel, for wisdom, for insight. And it may look right, but it's untrustworthy. What does the Scripture say? It says the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They're the things that make wise the simple. They're the ones that give us insight, truth, guidance, stuff that we can depend on. If you go to Psalm 119, David said there in verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." If you jump over to verse 98 of the same chapter, you read, "Oh, how I love," or verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands," get this, young people, you'll like this one, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders." Why? "Because I obey your precepts." God is giving us hidden treasure, friends, to open the eyes to help us see and discern. And what He tells us is trustworthy. It makes wise the simple. It gives you a claim to discernment. Another thing you'll find in the treasure chest is a conduit for delight. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 19. "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." I don't know about you, but hunting for joy was the ultimate passion for me as a young person. It's what got me into a lot of trouble. It got me in trouble with the law. It got me trouble in my head. It got me in trouble all over. Why? Because I was seeking for things to give me joy, to give me fulfillment and happiness. And you know what? There's a lot of fun and a lot of thrills in sin. Did you know that? Of course you know it. You've tried it. The stuff is fun for a while. And then you have to go home and live with yourself. It's fun for the experience, the thrill, the high, the this, the that. But then next time you need a bigger dose, a bigger experience, a bigger thrill to bring you to the same level, and you end up getting caught in that vicious cycle. But friends, the day when I turned my life over to Jesus Christ and invited Him in, there was like a gushing geyser of joy that began to bubble up inside my soul, and it's been pumping for 20 some years. He's a conduit for delight. Not temporary stuff that'll fizzle, but real, alive, living. "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." Joy more than you can imagine. We also see in this treasure chest a cameo for display. "The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Now, a lot of ladies, at least in Western culture, put stuff on their eyes to give light to the eyes. It's called makeup or blush to the cheeks or whatever. And I'm not against makeup. I'm not against pretty ladies. I think it's nice. It's beautiful. But I find it interesting that sometimes it's very much a cover-up. I remember a lady went to a pastor. It wasn't to me, but a lady went to a pastor, and she says, and this was one of those ladies who just went all out and decked herself out. And she said, "Pastor, the Lord has really been dealing with my heart." And she said, "I know He's made me very, very beautiful, and I really struggle with pride." And she said, so I feel like I need to confess the sin of pride." And he said, "Well, my dear," he said, "actually," he said, "it's not the sin of pride you should confess, it's the sin of imagination." You ever notice how much energy we spend on trying to make our countenance light up? Whether it's females or males or whatever. We try to shine, to glow, to look like we're with it. What does the scripture say? "The commands of the Lord are radiant, beaming. They're the things that give light to the eyes. They're the things that make you shine from the inside out." It's from His Word. Physical beauty, great. But physical beauty becomes so secondary or thirdly or fourthly. Or it's far less important when you consider the beauty of nature that God can place in every single one of us, regardless of what we look like on the outside. You know, if all of us concentrated on the outside, we'd be introverts. I would be. But I have a God who says, regardless of what I look like on the outside, regardless of dirt on my chin, and I know you're thinking that this morning, regardless of my receding hairline, regardless of whatever, it doesn't matter, because what's important, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And if there's a radiance and a joy and a light from the inside out, not only will God take notice, but you know what? So will people. they'll see something in you that's different. It's one of the treasures that God has for you in His Word. The fifth thing we see in this treasure chest is a cleansing for distance. Look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring how long? Forever. It's pure, enduring forever. If you're like me, you also struggle with temptation and sin. What do you do in those struggles? Do we always have to give in? Do we always have to fail? Do we always have to say, I'm sorry, and pick ourselves up? Or is there something that can not only cleanse us, but renew us and give us strength to overcome? Is there? Of course. Psalm 119:11, King David, who knew very much what it was like to fail, he said, I have hidden your word. Where? In my heart. Why? So that I may not sin against you. In other words, putting His Word in our heart has a supernatural ability to equip us for the long run. It has an ability to purify us for the moment and fortify us for the distance. It's one of the treasures that He gives us in His Word. See, a lot of us are like the housekeeper who has company coming and they don't know what to do, there's not enough time, so they sweep the dirt under the rug and throw the laundry in the closet. And it looks clean, but if that door swings open, you're in trouble. If the rug gets kicked over, the dirt flies. That's not how God cleans. God goes thorough. And He cleans and He refreshes and He purifies and He enables you to last the distance. It endures forever. Another treasure we see is a catalyst for depth. Look at verse 9, the last part. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. It's very possible to look together and yet have our lives crumbling. God wants to strengthen us, not just for the distance, but He wants to strengthen us way, 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 way down deep. It's altogether righteous, not just portions. It's complete. It's comprehensive. There's no error or fault or weakness or fault line. There's nothing in His Word, in His truth, in His treasure chest that is wrong. So everything you discover there and build into your life is going to establish a foundation in your life that nothing, no earthquake, no fire, nor damage, nor destruction, no tempest, no storm, no trouble will ever be able to shake. Because it gives you a catalyst for depth. The seventh treasure we see here in verse 10 is a quenching of desire. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. If you're like me, regardless of what culture you come from, regardless of your economic strata, it's very easy to fall into the wicked trap of materialism. If I can just get that, I'll be happy. If I can just buy that, have that, obtain this, experience that, houses, dresses, whatever, it doesn't matter what the item is. Have you learned yet in life those things don't satisfy? It doesn't matter how much or how little, they just don't satisfy. Possessions are a cheap anesthetic to deaden the pain of an empty life. And yet we search. What does the psalmist declare about the Word of God? These things, His precepts, His laws, His commandments, His principles, His truths, they are more precious than gold and anything else out there that the humans say is valuable. Far more precious. When we get into the Word of God, you discover that somehow He quenches our desire. Not that we still don't like nice things, but the passion to obtain, the passion to have, the must-ness to have is gone. Because there's a completeness, a satisfaction in the soul that permeates. And you don't need that stuff to be together. Eighthly, we see there's a confection to digest. He says, not only are they more precious than gold, but they're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. In Psalm 119:103, David said, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. One of the prophets talks about taking the Word of God and eating it and finding it sweet to his soul, sweet to his stomach. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. It's not just what you put in your physical mouth that keeps you alive, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's your life. That's your confection. That's your food. And that's a treasure that God has given you in His Word. Ninthly, another treasure that you may not think of as a treasure, but it is. In verse 11, it says, "By them is your servant warned." There's a caution in the Scripture to deliverance. Most errors, mistakes can be precluded if we would take heed to God's truth, His principles, and His Word. I was just a young pastor. Still am. But I was in my first couple of years as a pastor. And I had this great opportunity to set myself on my feet financially. And there was an investment opportunity with this company that I had connections with. It all looked bona fide. It was fabulous. It was an unbelievable opportunity. Except I didn't have any money to invest. So I borrowed money. I borrowed $10,000. And I invested it in this Sherwin company. Yeah. 8 months later, not only did I lose my investment, but I had to start to pay back money that I had borrowed. And I remember praying about that, saying, "Lord, if you bless this, I'll give you lots." It's like people, "Lord, if you let me win the lottery, I'll give you lots." And after that episode, I had to go to the Word and realize I had violated scriptural principles. The Proverbs and God's principles on money management make it absolutely clear you don't do that. And I did it, and I got burned. God's Word gives us a caution, many cautions. Why? In order to deliver us from those kind of episodes. It took me 7 years to pay that off, and when I look at what I could have saved instead of paying this stupid loan off, I could have put a mortgage down on a house, I could have started myself off. Instead, it's taken me years and years and years to recover. God's Word gives us a caution. Red flags, red lights, warning signals. And if we would heed them, we'd realize what a treasure there is there. And finally, at least in this list, we see a crown for discovery. "By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Great reward. All your heart longs for, friends, is gift wrapped in the Scriptures, waiting to be discovered. Psalm 119:96, David said, "To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless." Boundless! We looked last week at the verse, "Our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, it hasn't even entered into the mind or the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." It's beyond our wildest dreams. It's in His treasure chest. Friends, this is just a quick sampling this morning. There is a stash of hidden treasure waiting to be discovered in God's wonderful Word. Now, if you want, you can go and find all kinds of other stuff out there. All the things the world hangs on the shelves, they're easily accessible if you have the money or the connections. You can get them, but they don't last. But if you want to go into God's Word and start to dig and start to search and start to uncover what God has hidden, among many other things, you're going to find a cure for depression, a claim for discernment, a conduit for delight, a cameo for display, a cleansing for the distance, a catalyst for depth, a quenching of desire, a confection to digest, a caution to deliverance, and a crown for discovery. It's all yours, but it's waiting to be discovered. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we try with your help to implement what we've heard this morning, we pray that you would make us seekers of your heart. Make us people who seek you and search you out with a passion so that we can discover this hidden treasure that you're waiting to give to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.